kissing. There's hard to be raining out of.
Come over here, kid. Why, sir? You never know, you might have to cook for 20 guys someday. You see, you start out with a little bit of oil, and you fry some garlic.
It's
and you throw in some tomatoes, tomato paste, you fry it, you make sure it doesn't stick. You got it to a boil, you shove in all your sausage and your meatballs. Huh? And a little bit of wine. A little bit of sugar.
Delicious.
And that's my trick.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
Enough. I'm so sick and tired of hearing you people talk about food, food, food. That's all anybody ever talks about is prosciutto, cheese, and fava beans. I'm drowning here.
Jesus Christ, take it easy.
We're not even engaged yet.
When you're married, you'll understand the importance of fresh produce. Mashed potatoes,
yeah. I eat with gusto, damn your bet, my country tis of thee. I eat for social progress, I eat for victory.
Delicious.
Stay hungry, stay hungry, stay hungry.
You want some more?
Good evening and welcome to Mouthful, the wine country's most delicious hour. And yes, we are live tonight. It's Michelle Anna Jordan right here. Forget what happened last week, but I don't think I was here. Anyway, I'm here tonight. And, you know, I'm going to start out with just a tiny bit of a story because I'm really excited about tonight's show. Very excited. Every now and then, I wake up in the middle of the night and I think, you know, if I had a whole bunch of money, like buckets of money, all the money in the world, I would get in the car right now, I would drive to San Francisco, I would pay any price, I would get on a plane so that I could be in New York City, Manhattan, at Katz's Deli when it opened. You know, you just, I hear there's a place down in Los Angeles, maybe it's called Langer's or something, that's got good pastrami. But it's not something you can drive to easily from Sonoma County. So I was very excited when I was talking with Alan Thomas, manager of the really wonderful West End Farmers Market that opened for the 2014 season last week. And he told me that there was going to be a Jewish deli starting at the Farmers Market this week. And by coincidence, I got an email from Les Goodman. And I said, yeah, come on to Mouthful if you can. And he's here in the studio for what it turns out to be a second time. Welcome back to Mouthful.
Thank you very much. My pleasure.
How is the market today?
We were busy. It was good.
Uh-huh.
Definitely a warm day out there.
Mm-hmm.
Cooking up a storm, lots of pastrami and corned beef, some Reubens going on.
Mm-hmm.
Very eventful. We were very, very happy with our first day out with our new little side venture and Jewish deli concept that we're working on.
That's so great. Now, you, when you were here 5 years ago, you were working at Dry Creek Kitchen.
Correct.
And then where did you go? You weren't there a long time. Where did you go after that?
After Dry Creek, I did some consulting for some people. I helped other caterers in the county. I was running the culinary program for Sur La Table over Montgomery Village.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did that for a little bit, and then after that, I was like, you know what? I need a break free. It's time for me to do my own thing. My wife and I decided to just work on our catering company, so mm-hmm. we came up with Adafina Culinary.
Mm-hmm. What's the source of that name?
Adafina, it's a Sephardic stew. Judaism, you kind of have Ashkenazi, which is Eastern uh-huh. European, Sephardic being Spanish descent or North mm-hmm. African, and Adafina essentially is the same as cholent, but more Sephardic flavors.
Okay.
So they throw it on the embers of the fire Friday evening before the sun goes down and uh-huh. cooks all night. That way they can just pull it out for lunch after they get home from shul on Saturday. So
oh,
it's
okay.
that time of consideration uh-huh. because you can't just throw anything into a pot and hope it turns out the next day. You mm-hmm. kind of have to know what you're doing.
Yes. Yeah.
We really just try to take the time and think about what we're making, who we're making it for, especially for the catering company, because mm-hmm. we do a lot of weddings. We do a lot of winery events, so the wine
sure.
pairing. So really it's just time consideration uh-huh. and education. Like that's what with the deli thing. We just came back a month or so ago, I think.
Really?
From New York and from Montreal.
Well, tell us what you found there.
Trip started off in Montreal. We were gone for about 10 days or so.
And you had a third person with you.
Yes, we did. It was my wife, myself, and our now six-month-old son, Penn. So first long traveling experience with him, which is eventful for that young of an age. But he did good.
That's a good age, I think, to take them, because, you know, they can't crawl out of your lap and run around yet. And so they're not frustrated in that way.
At that point, yes. Now, a month later, I'm like, maybe not. But, yeah, it was a good trip. Neither of us have been to Montreal. Mm-hmm. And through reading and researching for Jewish jellies and a lot of TV shows that we've watched, too, Anthony Bourdain being one, has gone up to Montreal a bunch and talks about the bialys and bagels up there. Mm-hmm. And actually, the shirt I'm wearing is from Montreal for Schwartz's, which is one of the oldest, I wouldn't call it a Jewish deli, mm-hmm. but they call it smoked meat up there.
Okay.
That's sort of their version of pastrami.
Mm-hmm.
But it's absolutely delicious. Lots of bakeries we went to. It was very, very cold, so we were kind of running around to stay warm.
Yeah.
And then, I'm trying to think. Tasting babka, tasting rugelach, just kind of see how Montreal does things versus how New York City, mm-hmm. huge Jewish population, and kind of how they go about it.
Yeah.
You mentioned Katz's. We definitely went to Katz's. Actually, right there in house, and it's Katz's, and then you have Russ and Daughters, which is...
Oh, right, yeah.
Kind of a fish market.
Uh-huh.
They do a lot of different types of smoked salmon, herring. They had a cream cheese schmear smorgasbord. Like, it was, they had probably had 12 different types. One included a caviar one, I remember, in uh-huh. particular. Baked goods there as well.
Mm-hmm.
It was really, like, you walk into that store, and it takes you back to a different era.
Mm-hmm.
My aunt was with us, and she goes, I just feel the presence of my grandparents in the store.
Cool.
Which was, I was like, wow. Like, it made her feel a little bit eerie in a way.
Uh-huh.
But, from there, then, further down housed into Yonah Shemmel's, which I never heard of until a friend of mine here.
I don't know about it.
And it's a knishery.
Oh,
they make knishes. And I love a good knish,
mm-hmm.
so tried theirs. We tried some up in Montreal as well. We did Second Avenue Deli as well.
Yeah, I've heard a lot. People I know who live in New York love that place, so next time I go, I have to go.
It was good. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're all different, and they're all good in their own rights.
Did you go to Carnegie?
We did not. I've been to Carnegie ages ago, and it's one of those places, like, for just the two of us, you have to go with a big group if you want to be able to try everything, because the portions are just so
uh-huh.
huge.
Yeah.
I made the mistake the first time I went there. I think I ordered a sandwich and maybe another dish, hoping that other people would share it, but they didn't want it. So I was stuck with it all and basically took half my sandwich home and mm-hmm. almost the entire plate of the other one. And those are monster sandwiches. Those are probably about a pound of meat on there.
Yeah, no, the only time I've been there is when I've stayed at the hotel right around the corner from it. I don't remember if it's a W or what, but you could order through the hotel. And I just got a sandwich.
Oh, wow.
I got a sandwich to take on the plane with me.
And that's awesome. That's
I think
great.
I ate it for two days. I definitely didn't eat it on the plane. And boy, did I get dirty looks when I opened it up. anywhere else in New York?
I'm trying to think. We were trying to... Actually, there's a place in Brooklyn that we didn't make it, but next time we're out in New York, we will.
Uh-huh.
It's called Mile End Deli. And it's a guy from Montreal doing Montreal-style
uh-huh.
deli in New York.
Uh-huh.
We wanted to go there, but we couldn't. Uh-huh. We went to... Oh, there was another bakery we went to off of Union Square. And I want to say it was called Baker's Bakery, and they were supposed to have the best babka in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
So we went there, gave it a try, and a couple other things that they had that were really good.
Mm-hmm.
Baregas they had there.
That I don't know what that is.
It's, best way to describe it, it is a puff pastry with filling,
okay.
and it could be various fillings.
Sure.
They did a spinach one, they had a separate feta one, and they had like a potato one. And
oh, okay.
They were tasting buttery, uh-huh. delicious.
Yeah, sounds good.
We had something else there. I can't remember uh-huh. off the top of my head.
Okay. And so you just got back about a month ago. And what was it, before you went on that research trip, what was it about Sonoma County and here, other than the obvious, that made you decide you were going to go in that direction?
Well, there's no good Jewish jelly up here.
Yeah, that's what I meant by the obvious.
And that really is kind of catapulted it. Like, okay. I miss the food of stuff that I was raised on.
Where did you grow up?
I'm originally from Las Vegas.
Oh, okay.
And there were, growing up, there were some good Jewish jellies, mm-hmm. Off and on. And then you've had all the surrounding from L.A. to New York come to Vegas for those kind of delis. But there's been a couple places that have been consistent for the past, I don't know, few decades. Uh-huh. But they're all, they're good. And every time I go home, I'm always going to the same place because mm-hmm. I know I'm going to get a good pastrami and eggs, good bagels. Not quite like New York, but they're still mm-hmm. good. Lox and everything. But yeah. Up here, I'm just like, nowhere. They're... Yeah. In San Francisco, there used to be, or one is still around, David's.
Right, David's. And there was the other one right near it.
Ooh, I don't remember.
Oh, yeah, there was one. There was David's, and then there was one other place that was really just a couple blocks away on the other side of the street. But that's been a long time since that place was gone.
And I came across a book, too, before I went on the trip, probably about a month before, called mm-hmm. Save the Deli.
Right,
which
yes.
It's written
yes.
by a Canadian guy. I think mm-hmm. the last name was Sachs. And been reading that, and that was unbelievably interesting mm-hmm. on how all these delis are just going out of business one mm-hmm. after another. Because the cost of making pastrami is definitely not a cheap thing to do.
Tell us about making pastrami. We had somebody here, relatively speaking, they were on the show. I think they were based in Sacramento, if I remember correctly. And they brought in their pastrami. And, oh, I can't imagine that they're still in business. I mean, that's all I'll say. It wasn't pastrami. I'm not sure what it was, but it was definitely not pastrami.
Okay. Pastrami takes a very long time. And when we were at Katz's, we were kind of telling, the owner came to our table and... He's like, the reason ours is the way it is and you can't replicate it, it's because of the minerals in New York City water. And you hear about that for everything in New York. It's the water. The bagels,
New York
the
has
pizza.
Fabulous water.
It does. And I agree with most of it. Uh-huh. But not to say that I'm trying to make Katz's pastrami either.
Right, yeah.
And we kind of, I would say, did a hodgepodge of kind of New York style versus, not versus, but with the smoked meat style. Mm-hmm. And I have a little nugget.
Oh, guys, I'll say. Ooh, look.
although we do it hot, just like you do in most delis. And so this is a little chilled, but at least you'll be able to get.
Well, I'll tell you one thing from sitting over here.
The taste off of it. And the smell, I'm sure.
The texture looks right. It looks like pastrami.
But it is
pastrami. Mm.
It's been brined for...
Bless you. That
I'd say anywhere,
good.
At least 5 days up to...
Mm-hmm. His is bigger.
There's a bit more here.
I couldn't resist. What is the cut?
I'm using brisket.
Okay.
Which some people do... But traditionally, it would be the navel, which uh-huh. is roughly okay. the same area. Mm-hmm. I wish I had a napkin right now, but oh well.
We can make that happen. oh, God, it's really good.
So, brined for a while, mm-hmm. and then after that, we make our spice rub and rinse it off first. We soak it overnight as well.
In?
Just plain water.
Plain water. So that's after it's brined, then you soak it in water.
To pull out some of that salt. Because you don't want it to... If you didn't do that step, you would be drinking gallons and gallons of water when trying to eat the pastrami. So that gets rid of a lot of the salt flavor, but it keeps it nice and seasoned. And then after that, we have our spice rub, and...
Thank you.
Then we can... It can vary. I would say a minimum of 2 days in the rub. Mm-hmm. I go maybe three or four.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, it gets smoked.
Okay.
And I've been keeping it on the smoker at least 12 hours. Mm-hmm.
So you've got a week or more into that piece.
At least 10 days.
At least 10 days.
At least
wow.
10 days. So it's that time and that effort. And mm-hmm. corned beef, just about the same thing. Mm-hmm. But
what's the difference between the two?
You don't smoke corned beef, and you don't have any spice rub on corned beef.
Oh, you don't have spice rub. That I didn't know. I knew you didn't smoke it, but the spice rub, that's interesting.
And what you could be thinking about, like, you'll buy corned beef in the store, and then
there's
you cook
all this,
it.
There's
the pickling spices.
Right.
Those pickling spices are what are in the brine. Mm-hmm. So it's just kind of that added flavor. And so when we boil our corned beef, I throw more pickling spice in there. Mm-hmm. I'll throw some mirepoix, carrots, onion, celery, garlic, mm-hmm. and whatever else I might have on hand, peppercorns, mm-hmm. Then that's it with corned beef.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the pastrami, after it's smoked, it gets chilled down again. And then before serving it, it has to steam for about 2 hours to get it nice and hot. Because you don't want to steam it too fast, but you want to bring it up to at least 200 degrees or so. Mm-hmm. So I was up very early this morning to make sure I got to the kitchen to start steaming that pastrami. The product has been, people were loving it, and we were very,
really,
very happy with the crowd and
really
the response.
Good.
And there were some New Yorkers there, and they were loving it. They only had one maybe little nitpicky complaint, but that's what we want.
What was the complaint?
The slice that they may have had a little bit of fat in the very center of the meat. Kind of like how a ribeye steak sometimes has that one big chunk of fat.
Sounds good to me.
Which, to me, would be the way I love it. But then again, that's why if you go to Katz's, you go up there, you can order it lean, or you can get it full fat.
Uh-huh.
Same thing up in Montreal. You go to any sort of...
They'll offer the options now?
Mm-hmm.
I bet that's fairly new. I bet they didn't offer that option 25, 30 years ago.
Not that long ago. I'd say at least... A decade ago, though.
Sure, a decade, sure. Sure, probably, you know, I think the real fat phobia started in the mid-80s.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were a couple things that happened in New York. I think it was 85, 86, and it was just full tilt fat phobia in New York. That's probably when they started doing it. That is really, really good pastrami.
Thank you
really
very much.
Good.
And, I mean, the two predominant spices in pastrami's pepper and coriander, and we go heavy on our coriander because Tara and I are coriander fanatics. We love the flavor.
Love coriander. Where do you get your coriander?
I'm buying it through the Savory Spice Shop downtown here in Santa Rosa, supporting local businesses.
Sure, absolutely.
And they have a great selection.
Yeah.
We try to buy as much organic and local products as we
possibly
can.
Haven't had their coriander yet. Part of the reason I asked is this... Oh, Nick. Nick is his first name, and he's got the Spicery, and he's based in Novato, and he sells at the farmer's market in Sebastopol every other week, and he's also in a couple other farmer's markets. I was doing a cooking demo of sorts for something. Oh, I know. I was up at Cloverdale Citrus Fair, and I used some of his coriander, and I was just blown away by how good it was. Really shocked. I have to go by Savory Spice Shop and get some of theirs, too.
They have good stuff. Their coriander, their paprika selection is really nice. Their dried chilies.
Uh-huh.
I do, every now and then I make a merguez sausage, and I've come up with my own chili pepper mix, because the recipe I originally had, it just called for chili powder.
Mm-hmm.
Like, your commercial chili powder is, it's okay.
Nah.
And so I made up my own little chili powder mix with some of their
spices. I make my guests sometimes, and part of the inspiration when I started making it was just the chipotle powder that was, you know, so it began here. Domestic chipotle powder began in Sonoma County.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Tierra Vegetables.
They did? Okay.
Tierra Vegetables, I'm pretty sure.
We use their kitchen. We know them well.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they were the first out of the gate in the United States to make a chipotle powder. Get them to tell you the story sometime. It was they were using an old refrigerator and something. The story is hilarious. but up until then, you could buy the canned chipotles and adobo.
Mm-hmm.
If you wanted dried chipotle, you had to go to the Mission District in San Francisco. And then if you wanted powder, you had to just, you know, get that and grind it in a spice grinder. And they came out with a chipotle powder, and it's fabulous.
Wow.
Just fabulous. So, okay, you have to, like, take the pastrami away from it in front of me, or I will grab it all.
Yes, what the smell permeates the room.
What else did you bring?
So, in going with family tradition and stuff, one of the last times I was home, I want to say maybe it was either Thanksgiving, my mother gave me my grandmother's cookbook, recipe book, which actually originally belonged to her mother. So my great-grandmother has recipes at the very beginning. So we've been looking through that and finding family recipes that we want to be trying and using. And so the first two I grabbed out of there, and again, with their own little twists, was Nana's potato salad and then Aunt Beattie's coleslaw. And Nana, Aunt Beattie were sisters. Nana was towards the younger, I want to say the second youngest child, and I think there were five or six in the family. Beattie was the second oldest. There was about 19 years between the two of them, wow. I believe. My grandmother is still alive, 94 now.
Wow, how cool. That's great.
So we just... Well, it's nice because the coleslaw, I'm not a big fan of the mayonnaise-y kind of coleslaw. Mm-hmm. So this is vinegar-based, which is nice. Uh-huh. Very simple. I'd say the only ingredient I excluded in this is the green bell pepper that was in her recipe because I'm not a fan of green pepper.
Right on. I am high-fiving you. You know, I am not a fan of raw. I'm not a fan of bell pepper.
Thank you.
That has not been roasted and peeled. You got to get that peel off there, or there's this very aggressive taste.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We might throw nice local Italian style peppers in there during the season. But
I'm helping myself.
Please do. But yeah, it's just cabbage, carrots, red onions, vinegar, water, sugar, salt. That's it. Super easy. Very flavorful.
Mm.
And the potato salad.
That's a really nice coleslaw.
Thank you. Potato salad, we were going to do, originally going to do Yukon Gold, but came across this past week that local dry farm potatoes were available, so they're German butterballs.
Yes, there's a lot of local German butterballs right now.
And then she used pimento, the canned pimento pepper. But I'm like, no, I can't do that. So piquillo peppers or just nice organic local roasted red peppers go in there. Some celery, good amount of egg. We made our own mayonnaise instead of just buying it. And in making mayonnaise, you throw a little bit of mustard to help bind it up. But we make our own Guinness mustard that's served with our pastrami and corned beef sandwiches. So that went in there as well, which rounds out the flavor. Some pickle in there.
But not a lot.
Not a lot.
Not too much.
That was one of the things that when looking at her recipe, if I can remember off the top of my head, she might have done 2 cups of potato to 1 cup of celery. And I'm like, no, thank you. I'm not a celery fan. I like the crunch, though, in salads, and I try to get it as small as I can. And I peel it so it doesn't have those fibrous pieces.
Mm-hmm. You're a hyper-taster, aren't you? You know, in that non-taster taster, hyper-taster.
My wife's even worse.
I think you're a hyper-taster.
For me, a lot of it's texture, too.
Uh-huh. But, I mean, it's a physical thing. I am, too. So I reckon some of the things you're saying, and texture has a lot to do with it. Yeah, you're a hyper-taster. Hyper-tasters have a real hard time with those bell peppers like that.
And beets, I can't do beets.
Yeah.
Red beets, that is.
No, the other ones. Red beets, Chioga, manageable, golden. They're not too big.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Definitely.
Yeah, here. Interesting. This is what I like about this potato salad. It's really all the flavors are so balanced. It's creamy, but it's also crunchy. But the flavors are all integrated, and that's lovely.
Good.
And now, how do you serve? Do you serve this? Do you get a choice of a side dish with a sandwich? You serve it separately?
Serve it separately.
Okay.
We're buying local meat, Marin, Sonoma County, which can be fairly expensive, even being brisket.
Sure.
So, and even one customer said, you're priced very competitively, and that's what we're trying to do. Just stay within what people think people are willing to pay.
What's a pastrami sandwich?
Pastrami sandwich on rye, mustard. That's it. $13. Yeah, $13.
That's like you can make half of what Katz's charges, I think.
I don't even want to remember what my receipt was from Katz's. And then you can also make a Reuben out of it.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
so
okay.
So we are using nice...
And how do you do your Reubens? Did you just the absolutely traditional way?
Russian dressing, mm-hmm. homemade. Mm-hmm. We're using Franco-American rye bread.
Okay.
Which is really, really tasty. Mm-hmm. And then sauerkraut. And we're doing Monterey Jack.
Uh-huh.
Because we're using Spring Hill.
Okay.
Based in Petaluma there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that was about the only moderately mild flavor. We didn't want to go cheddar for the Reuben.
No.
I think that was the only white cheese that they had on their product list.
Yeah, that sounds right.
And then we're thinking we might be adding mustard to it after a few trials today, but I don't know. I think mm-hmm. maybe we might do like the secret menu items, kind of like In-N-Out does. Someone was asking if we, because we do schmaltz fries on the menu.
Oh, okay. And tell people what schmaltz is.
So schmaltz is chicken fat, but it's not just chicken fat. It is rendered out skin and chicken fat for a little bit, and then you add onion into it to give it onion flavor, and you fry all that up together till it gets nice and crispy, but you still have a nice golden color from the fat.
I did not know that schmaltz had onion. Interesting.
And that I didn't know that either until I was doing a bunch of my research.
Okay. Oh, that's so cool.
And then, so we comb feed the fries, the potatoes in that first.
Mm-hmm.
Then on site, we deep fry them. So we have the schmaltz fries, and then we have what we call the mashuga fries, which is, as my mother calls it, the heart attack on a plate. Mashuga fries is our ode to what I love from In-N-Out, our animal-style fries. But one thing from Montreal that we love is poutine, which is fries with cheese curds and gravy.
Mm-hmm.
So we have Spring Hill cheese curds. We're doing Russian dressing instead of gravy. Crispy pastrami or corned beef. Secret menu item, you can get gribbiness on those instead, which is the onion chicken skin crisped up from the schmaltz. Then some sauerkraut as well. So it's a plateful.
We have to take a musical break on that note. Y'all need to just digest what he just said.
Yeah.
Yep, it's a mouthful. Tonight it is definitely the most delicious hour going on in Sonoma County and beyond. We are talking with Les Goodman of Adafina Catering and Goodman's Jewish Deli. Now, you're only serving at West End right now, correct?
Correct.
I'm going to venture a wild guess that maybe you'll expand at some point.
We don't know.
Okay.
We're toying with the idea, but we do have the catering company, which keeps us busy the rest of the days. And sure. So far as experience last year, we never had too many Sunday events, so doing the Sunday market mm-hmm. works out. Now, there's too many philosophies you can go about, but I think having the one market and only the one market means that we could stay busy.
Sure.
And really... Sure. Hit all the people that want to come and try it out. And the West End Markets is brand new. It's the second year that it's going on.
Yeah.
Aside from being seasonal, I want to say it's the longest running seasonal in the county, possibly.
This year it may be because yeah. it opened earlier than any of the others. Mm-hmm. And it's going, there's a couple that go as late as it. I think it's the last day is December 14th this year.
Yeah.
And I think that Windsor goes... a week or two longer, but they haven't opened yet. So it may be the longest seasonal market.
So which
But maybe
works
then
out.
During your downtime, maybe you have to come to Sebastopol when they're closed.
Very possible.
That would be
that. Honestly, that,
would be that nice.
Was probably the other market that we would think about doing, being that it is on a Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and we would love you there. Now I'm going to have to get up extra early because Sebastopol Market's my market, my hometown market. I live mm-hmm. about a mile from there. But now I'm going to have to, you know, get there in time and then come see you.
Well, 10 a.m., 2 p.m., I know they're short 4 hours, and they went by, well, started off very busy, and I feel like...
So was
like
it busy right at 10?
It was a good amount of people.
Okay.
I want to say for the first hour to hour and a half... I didn't even have a second to look at my watch to see what time it was.
Do you take orders by text? It's okay. I'm kidding.
We had someone ask for corned beef to go, just the meat, no bread, nothing. They wanted it for sandwiches later.
Uh-huh.
So we have a vegetarian option, which can be a vegan option as well.
Tell us about that.
Really great idea that my wife and I worked on doing a smoked pastrami-style cauliflower.
Oh, interesting.
And making that into a Reuben sandwich with the cheese uh-huh. and sauerkraut.
So doing
and
thinly
Russian dressing.
Sliced
pieces? Actually, it's a pretty good
oh, okay.
chunk. When we can get to that very center where it right. holds pretty well.
Sure.
But one good cauliflower steak, so to speak, on the rye bread, and people uh-huh. were loving it.
A okay.
Friend of ours is vegan, and she was at the market, and uh-huh. so we did it without the cheese, without
uh-huh.
any of
I would imagine
the fat, and she... was flipping out over
yeah,
it.
I would imagine that would be really popular. Now, what is it you have? Are those baked things that are
yes,
in
we
the
have,
parchment?
Yes, we have a baked item. This is... Tara's been working on this recipe for a while, and it is a chocolate babka.
Oh, it's dessert.
Now...
No, you don't... Okay. Just for now, tell us about it. I'm still on the potato salad.
I love chocolate babka. I mean... Every time I go back home, because there is really no place around here that makes it.
Well, let's start back a little bit. Explain to people what babka is.
Deliciousness. It is a cross. The bread itself could be a cross between challah and brioche,
okay.
which are very
mm-hmm.
similar,
mm-hmm.
but... Envision that with a whole bunch of chocolate swirled in there. This one is... There's a couple different ways you can go about making babka. Mm-hmm. The ones I've traditionally seen are very large loaves,
mm-hmm.
a good amount of chocolate. I would say they're probably more like your American-style breads. Okay. But we're going more Middle Eastern, where okay. it's a little bit more delicate...
Uh-huh.
And it's definitely prettier.
The yeasted bread.
Yeasted bread.
Yeah, and it is very pretty.
We let it sit and proof once overnight, mm-hmm. and then that gets balled up, rolled out, and filled with a delicious chocolate filling that will get rolled up, and then we end up braiding it.
Uh-huh.
So you can kind of see the little mm-hmm. the weaves in there for it.
Yeah, it's really very, very pretty. Now, tradition is, when babka is traditional, is it always traditional with chocolate, or are there other traditional fillings?
I would say chocolate is the most common.
Okay.
But I have had a delicious cinnamon babka before.
Because right now I'm looking at thinking cinnamon and butter.
And then there's
we're gonna share this one.
Share it. I haven't seen the recipe, but I've heard about doing a cheese babka, which would be really nice.
Mm-hmm. That would. I'm trying to think.
I don't know
about the chocolate that you use.
We're using the Cho chocolate from San Francisco, mm-hmm. TCHO, organic chocolate, which is fantastic. Nice semi-sweet, about 60.5% cacao, and then a good amount of cocoa powder also goes in there. Butter, lots of butter.
Mm.
So it's...
You can taste the butter, you can taste the butter in a really good way.
I am not going to be indulging because I think I've had babka for breakfast and dinner for the past week. Not dinner, I should say dessert at the end of the night for the past week. So I'm babka'd out at the moment. But
I'll tell you that is... I don't care much. I don't have a chocolate Jones. You know, I can sort of take chocolate or leave it. That is... And so if I like something with chocolate, it's really good. And that is really good.
That's the thing with me, too. I blame my mother for not liking chocolate, but that's a whole other story.
Yeah. We'll have to share those stories because it's probably my mother's fault, too.
But I'm not a chocolate person. But we do chocolate egg creams there, too. And I love a chocolate egg cream.
And there's no egg in egg cream.
That's correct.
Or if you've never left the West Coast, you might not know that.
And then... But a chocolate babka I could do. I will never order a chocolate dessert willingly. I'll taste one just to taste it because I am a chef. I need to try everything.
Sure.
But it's not my go-to.
Yeah.
I will prefer cheese over any dessert.
Me too.
Anyway,
me too.
So.
Give me the cheese course. I don't need the sweet. Give me a peach during peach season and I'm good.
Exactly.
Do you rotate what's available on Sundays, or do you pretty much wheel out your deli and you got it?
Good question. We, for the most part, we just kind of wheel it up, get the deli rolling, but we will have specials every week. Today's was matzo ball soup. We got Passover coming up, so
right.
We'll be doing that every now and then.
And then what about it? What are you doing about the smoked meats, lox and such?
We will eventually get into lox.
Okay.
We're going to work some things in slowly. Mm-hmm. Like we're probably going to do a breakfast salad one day. Mm-hmm. I know we're going to work on recipe for shakshuka, which is a Middle Eastern North African, I don't call it an egg dish, but it's a breakfast dish, and stewed tomatoes with some peppers and onions that you'll then put an egg in there and the egg kind of poaches itself in the liquid.
I do know that dish. I just didn't know the name.
So, which is delicious.
Yeah. Perfect summertime breakfast.
So we'll definitely the more specials will probably be more breakfast items than lunch style items.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to think what, those are the ones I can think of off the top of my head that we've talked about.
Uh-huh.
Corned beef hash probably at some point.
That makes me happy.
Well, we love corned beef, and all the potatoes we get locally here now are coming around. So
let me share an idea with you, because I was just thinking about this the other day, and I was going to go and see if there's any corned beef left over at Oliver's Market or something. I think you can make corned beef hash meatballs. Because here's my thinking. When I was a little kid, that was one of the things I used to cook at home. It's corned beef hash. I just loved it, and I love that little crispy part around the edges, as well as the other stuff, because I can't remember if I'd bake it or fry it or what. But I was thinking, God, you could make corned beef hash, and then you could take a scoop, like a pineapple scoop. You could just fry that up, and you would have corned beef hash meatballs.
That's, I will say, I'm a big fan of ordering my corned beef hash extra crispy, because I love the potatoes super crunchy.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever I've made corned beef hash in a restaurant setting, I always have done them more like a patty.
Uh-huh.
So that way you can get more crunch out of it.
Yeah.
And there's a few places I've tried to order extra crispy potatoes on my corned beef hash, and never right for me.
Yeah.
But you got to have crunchy potatoes.
So you think that idea might work?
Yeah. I definitely think so.
Yeah, I'm trying it this week. I'm trying it this week because I thought, that might just give you the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
In one mouthful. There you go.
There you go. Exactly.
And then what about things like Bialy's bagels? You going to go into that direction?
We will. I would probably say maybe not a bagel, so to speak.
Okay.
And not if we do bagel, it's going to be closer to Montreal style.
Tell us about that.
Now, I recommend anyone who wants to go to Montreal or plans a trip to Canada, go try a bagel. There are two bagel places not far from each other that are called, one is Fairmont and the other one is Saint-Vateur, and both of them delicious. Thing about Montreal bagels, they're not as giant and doughy as New York bagels are. Okay. They do boil them in water, but they use honey water.
Oh.
And then they're wood-fired baked.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Now, I know Tara took an awesome photo that she put on our Facebook page when we were on the trip, and they're really, not real narrow, but very long oven, and they have a paddle probably about, I don't know, 6-7 inches wide, and I could say maybe 5 feet long, that's what they use to scoop under to get the bagels up, and they'll pull them out of the oven, and at Saint-Vateur, they'll kind of fly them into the air and have them land into the bagel bin. But they are absolutely delicious. You can even request to get a warm one if you're going to eat it right then and there.
Nice.
Versus having one that's already been cooled down. They don't make their own cream cheese, but they have some excellent Canadian company that Liberté company makes cream cheese. I know we can buy the yogurt here. And absolutely delicious. You can taste the sweetness from the honey, the yeastiness in the dough, but they're smaller too. They're
which I would appreciate.
If I had to say, Montreal bagel probably about inch to inch and a half tall from put it on a table, but then add another like half inch comparing it to a New York bagel. So they're just not as doughy. They they have more of that crunch and that crust to filling in the dough.
Yeah, so. I have to cut the middle out. Get rid of it.
When we came back from Montreal and we were in New York, we were staying with my aunt and uncle in Long Island, and I have lots of family out there. So,
whereabouts?
Long Island? Rockville Center, Nassau County.
Okay.
About four stops away from New York City on the Long Island Railroad. So
yep, I know it.
It's I do love New York. I love my family out there, and I want to say probably the last two or three times I've gone there, I say I'm glad I don't live here.
Yeah.
But family came over. We were trying to get those that I don't see that often. And we got they got some New York bagels, and one of our cousins is sitting there just picking out the filling of the bagel. He's like, that's how a real New York Jew does it.
He goes, that's great.
Well, that's why Montreal bagels are perfect, because you don't even have to do that.
And then what is a Bialy? One thing I've never had. I've never had a Bialy. I've seen some pictures of them.
So Bialy is, I would say they're closer to size as a Montreal bagel, so smaller. But the hole doesn't go all the way through. Okay. It's only about halfway down. And
Same dough?
I believe so.
Okay.
And then that's filled with a good amount of onion, sometimes poppy seeds, maybe some garlic flakes or something, and then they're baked off like that.
Okay.
And I've always liked a Bialy over a bagel, just for the fact that when you cut it in half, you have a flat bottom that you can spread your cream cheese and everything on. Instead of having to try to eat around this little circle, you can eat it like a normal sandwich.
And is that the typical thing to put on a Bialy's cream cheese?
Yeah. That's what I would do.
Okay.
Cream cheese, lox.
Lox, okay.
Definitely. So,
when I was a kid, little kid, really little, I don't know where I discovered it. I loved lox. I had this incredible, and I grew up here in the Bay Area, just had this incredible passion for lox. And when I got to Kashi, and I'm talking four, and I knew when my mother would go to certain stores, that I mean, a lot of stores didn't have them, but there were two stores, I think, that did have them. And nobody in the family would eat them, and I'd just keep them in the refrigerator, and I'd go out and get myself some little slices of lox, and I just loved it.
Lox is amazing, and making it yourself is fantastic and tastes great, and I've done gravlox, I've done pastrami salmon before, but the Russin Daughters in New York City, I walking in there, I couldn't even tell you how. They had a pastrami salad. They had their gravlax. Then they had a Scottish salmon. They had an Irish salmon. They had – some were wild. Some weren't. They had Atlantic salmon. They had probably 12 different kinds. They had whitefish and – like, if there's anything I would ever – I don't want to say import, but ship from New York, mm-hmm. it would have to be whitefish.
Yeah. You don't see whitefish.
You don't
here.
See that out here at all.
No, never.
And Russ and Daughters, I know, ships around the country, so which is nice to know.
So does cats.
They do.
But
you can send a salami to your boy in the army too.
I've never called them. A couple times I thought, oh, I really want some pastrami. I'm not calling cats. And now I don't have to because you're here. Let's take one more quick musical break, and we'll be right back to wrap things up with Les Goodman.
Of all the tricks that you have tried, the times you've left, the times you've lied, the late night threats of suicide, it always circles round to this: another friend you can dismiss, another shrink you can outthink, another way you can deny the do or die, another drink, another drink, another drink. We can hide your pills, take away your gun, turn away and in the name of love, call your bluff, or we can talk about it till the sun comes up, but only you can say enough's enough, enough's enough of another drink, another drink, another drink. Before there's nothing left to lose, no place to go, no friend to use. Before the devil owns your shoes, if you could only think of this: the violin, the lover's kiss, the sand you'll crane, the step away from being just another drunk who can't refuse another drink, another drink, another drink.
Another drink, another drink, another drink.
Oh, it's a regular Jewish deli here in KRCB Studios. It's so really delicious. So here's the deal. You got to go to the West End Farmers Market if you want to enjoy this. It takes place from 10 to 2 on Sundays. Runs a half hour later than the Sebastopol Farmers Market. And it's on Donahoe Street, right adjacent to the Deturk Park and Round Barn. And one of the things that's really great about it, other than the little grassy hill that's between the barn and the dog park, it's one of the best dog parks I've ever seen in Sonoma County. It's just a fabulous dog park. So you can take your dog, you can hang out, you can get your pastrami sandwich and go sit on the grass, listen to the music. It's a really wonderful place to hang out. And for now, it's going to be the only place that you get this really traditional Jewish deli food. And, you know, you really, as I'm telling you this, I'm thinking, I don't want to tell anybody. Because I know what's going to happen. I'm going to get there, and I'm going to be in this really long line, and then you'll sell out. Because every time I write about something I really love, that's what happens. And I'm probably not going to be able to resist writing about you. So we've got about 4 more minutes. What haven't I asked you that I should be asking you?
Oh, man, I don't know. I'm trying to think if there's anything else from our travels that stood out.
And if not, here's one thing I'll ask. This is wine country, of course, in part. What should one drink with Jewish deli food?
That's a good question. So we are also doing homemade celery soda.
Tell me about that.
So classic deli drink is Dr. Brown's Cel-Ray, as they call it on the label, soda. So we're making our own celery soda.
I have never heard of that.
Which, it's sort of the flavor of the celery soda. There's a little bit of acid, but there is no acid in it.
Okay.
But the bite from the celery seeds in there kind of helps cut a lot of the richness and fattiness from the corned beef and pastrami.
Okay.
Which is really nice.
Sounds really interesting. Is it sweet?
Not that sweet.
Cool.
But it's sweetened.
Okay, it's sweetened.
Not too much. I don't like things overly sweet. Mm-hmm. I'm thankful I stopped drinking soda a while ago. But we're also doing chocolate egg creams.
Right. I knew you were doing the chocolate egg creams. But if you don't want to go in that direction, what are your other choices?
Otherwise, I would go with a beer.
Yep, me too.
Or whiskey or scotch or something.
Yeah, I think for me, a pint of Pilsner. Mm-hmm. Works really beautifully with a pastrami sandwich.
I know we talk about having a brick and mortar, and we would want to do the deli initially as a permanent location. And if the first beer I would probably bring in there is actually a brand called Hebrew. If no one's heard of it, you have to go try it. I know Whole Foods sells them every now and then.
Oh, really?
But they're Northern California. They've been around since at least a decade, because I first heard of them when I was in college.
Okay, Hebrew.
Hebrew. I want to say their first beer that they came out was called Genesis Ale. And I have the original label bottle, and I never opened it until, and will not, because I found out they don't make that label anymore, for one called Messiah Stout. I believe they attend the Hillsburg Beer Fest year.
Okay. So I'm sure you can Google them and find out where to get them. Great.
But I'd say a dark beer.
A dark beer, yeah. Okay.
I was thinking porter.
Yeah.
Now tell me why.
I think it's just the flavor, like the richness of that beer, like it's got that meatiness and that kind of mustiness in it.
There's a good mirror going on there. Okay, and if I'm going with a Pilsner, I'm going with the opposite, more with the celery thing.
Exactly.
You know, going for that cleansing the
crisp
palate.
And that lightness.
Yeah, exactly. Well, cool. If people have questions, if people want to reach you, what is the best way for them to do that? Is it to go to your Facebook page? Because I can tell you respond really quickly.
Facebook is really well. You can also go to our website, adafinaculinary.com.
Okay, and spell Adafina for us.
Adafina.
Adafina, culinary.com.
And if you want to contact us for an event, our information's there. We got a little
contact form
that you can fill out, and it goes right to our email. Phone number's on there as well.
Great. And on that note, we are out of time here on Mouthful. I get to eat the leftovers. Meet me back here next week for another yummy episode of Mouthful, the one country's most delicious hour. I'm Michelle Lynn and Jordan. Have a great week. And, you know, take care of each other. Take care of yourself, too.
Children, it is plain but true. God knows if a preacher preaches long enough. Mouthful, the Wine Country's Most Delicious Hour, is produced and hosted by Michelle Anna Jordan, who also selects Mouthful's music. Live episodes are engineered by Michael Young and occasionally by Mary Moore Campagna. Mark Fuller is Mouthful's recording and post-production engineer. Podcasts are available at iTunes and krcb.org. For more information, to suggest a guest, and to find out how to be a guest yourself, email catsmilk@sonic.net or send a message via Mouthful's Facebook page.
Got some beans and good cornbread. Listen to what the preacher says.